But they give up comfort, they give up security, they give up a lot of things to serve God in a unique way that he's called them to. And it takes some stuff, like some faith, right? It takes tremendous faith. It takes faith just to go on a mission trip, but it really takes faith to be a missionary full time. And you have to trust God that he's going to provide, that he's going to keep you safe, that he's going to use you, that it's going to be worth it. All these things, you have to surrender to him. You have to be obedient to answer the call, whatever that is. And that applies for, again, missionaries. It applies for even a mission trip. But, you know, when you go on a trip like this or a missionary comes home, you know, you're thankful for the experience. You're thankful for these opportunities to serve God in a different way. No matter what it was, if it was a good experience or a bad experience, you're just thankful to serve God. And I've heard people say a couple different things about missions, right? You hear stuff like missions are not for everyone. You hear stuff like, man, I really wish I could do that, but I could never possibly do what you guys did, or I couldn't do what they do for a full-time missionary. You know, I do not necessarily think that every person is called to go on every mission trip. I don't believe that every Christian is called to sell everything they own and move to a foreign country. Hello, somebody's got a minister in the United States, right? So it's not that everybody's called to do those kinds of things. But I do think that missions are for everybody. And I do think that everybody should be a missionary. What is a missionary, right? It's a missionary, it's a person that's sent, you know, into an area to carry on evangelism or activities. And sometimes that's done through, not through just ministering through a church, but you see missionaries can go and work in education in a foreign land. They can go and work in a hospital or something in a foreign land. A missionary is a person also that's strongly in favor of a program, a set of principles. Okay, so a Christian missionary, we're set and we're strongly in favor of our principles and our morals that we're willing to go and persuade and convert other people to teach them the ways of Christ. And then third, a missionary is a person who is sent on a mission. Pretty simple. That's the easiest one to remember. And so not every person is sent out by the church to do evangelistic activities, right? Not every person is sent to do that. Not every person is so compelled by their faith that every person they encounter, they're going to convert them right there on the spot, no matter what. But every person is, that is a follower of Christ, has been sent on a mission. Do you know that? We've all been sent on a mission. Who are we supposed to imitate? Jesus. Okay? We're to imitate Jesus. We are to look like him. We're to act like him. We're to do what he would do. Do you know what Jesus was? He was a missionary. See, we think about Jesus being, you know, Messiah and Savior. He's prophet. He's teacher. We think of all these roles that he has. And because we don't see it, we don't see him called missionary in the word. I think sometimes we forget about him being sent on a mission. He was the first missionary in that sense. John 6:38 says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." That's the first thing that we have to know if you're going to go on a missions trip, is that you're not going there to do what you want to do. And me and Tony had that first conversation, and we both were on the same page. I'm not giving you a list of things my team wants to do. Don't ask me for a bunch of things my team wants to do. And he's like, good, that's how we roll too. He said, you're coming to help our ministry. You're just going to do whatever it is that we're doing. And I said, that's great, because that's how missionary works. I'm not going to do your will. I'm going to do the will of the people who we're serving, right? And so Jesus modeled that for us. He didn't come down from heaven to do his own will, but to do the will of the Father. And then in Philippians 2, verse 5 and 8, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." You know, regardless of the role that we're in, when you go and you serve with someone else, you do what they want. You submit to authority. You know, being a pastor and going to Mexico, I wasn't the king in that place, like everybody's going to do what I say. It was, who's in charge here? Who from Mexico is in charge? I will do whatever you say, right? And it's like, that's the way, the mindset we have to have when we're serving, when we're doing ministry. It's like, who's in charge of this ministry? It doesn't matter about titles. It doesn't matter that you're an elder and you're helping out with a, you know, with a dinner, and it's who's in charge of this dinner? Who's running this thing? I'm submissive to you and serving in this role. So ways that we have to look at serving is just, I'm here to do my job. And Jesus came. He didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. Father, I will do whatever it is that you want me to do. I'll be humble. I'll be obedient all the way to death on the cross. He was a missionary. He left the comfort of his home, right? And we think about leaving the comfort of our homes to go to Mexico. It's a pretty big transition, okay? Our homes are probably significantly more comfortable than where we stayed at in Mexico. But think about Jesus. He left not just his home to go to stay in another home in another country. He left heaven, right? Our final destination where we're all longing to be. And he leaves that, the final place, to come to this earth and live life as a man, facing all the challenges that life could throw at him. And he won, right? That's a missionary for you right there. And, you know, again, leaving St. Elmo for Topeka doesn't sound that difficult whenever we look at it compared to leaving heaven, holy heaven, for sinful earth, right? It's not near the sacrifice that Jesus made. But you know what? There's people that were in Mexico that they needed God's love. They needed to know who Christ was. They needed to see that in other people, besides just the people that had been reaching out to them. You know, it makes a really big difference. Sometimes you need to hear something from somebody else that's not in your life on a daily basis, and then you'll listen to the people that are in your life on a daily basis. It's like, oh, okay, I heard the same thing from these Americans. Now I'll actually listen to what the locals here are telling me. You know, they're telling me the same thing. It kind of reinforces, gets you going again. And, you know, people need to see God's love. It's not a small thing to them that we showed up and we helped with these local ministries and helped connect with them. And we see that Jesus did the same thing, right? There are people, there were then and there are still people on this earth that they need to know the love of Christ. Amen? There's people who need God's love. So Jesus came and he showed that. He showed us what we had only seen in miracles, what we'd only seen in the text. And he showed, this is God's love. This is how God's love works. This is how it's actually brought forth by people and it's acted out. And he showed God's love even to that point of death on the cross, offering salvation and forgiveness of sins. David Livingstone, who's a missionary to Africa, he said, God had an only son and he made him a missionary. God had an only son. He made him a missionary. He sent him to us. And Jesus knew why he came. It's important that he knew why he came. When you are going to serve somewhere, how great is it to know why you're there, right? If you're just like, hey man, can you show up at my house on Saturday at 8? First question I'm asking is, what are we doing? Second question, I'm going to be like, do you have the things that we need to do that? And the third thing is, who else is coming? Like, is it just going to be me and you, or do we have help? Right? You want to know why you're on the mission, why you're doing the task, what your goals are. And Jesus knew exactly why he came. He told us many, many times. I've got a few of them here. Mark 10:45 said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus knew that was his calling. That's why he was sent from heaven, was to come and to serve and to give his life. Mark chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus knew that he came to call sinners who are sick to repentance, to tell them He's like, you know what? There's people who already have faith in God. They're not the ones that need it. It's the ones who don't know, the ones who are sick. And I'm calling them to repentance. In Luke chapter 19, he said, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why Jesus came, to find those people who were sick, who needed to repent, who needed his forgiveness and his salvation that he gave with his life. And then 1 John 3:8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. How many of you are ready for that? Hallelujah, okay? He already has, but when that final time comes, is going to be phenomenal. Jesus came to serve others, to call them to repentance, to save them, to destroy the works of the enemy. You know, people give up comfortable lives to go and serve God in a foreign land. You know, they're on a mission to share Jesus. They're on a mission to love people. And this might not be what God is calling you to do with your life. I'm not doing a call down to who wants to give their life to full-time missions today. But if that's you, then that's awesome. You know, if God's calling you to that. But that may not be your calling. This is a mission that all believers are called to, though. It doesn't have to be in another country. See, we think about missionaries, and we almost always think overseas, right? It's like missionary means I got to fly somewhere, right? And I got to go to a foreign country. I got to have a passport to go on a mission trip. But we can go on missions in our workplace, right? We're missionaries at the school. We're missionaries at the store. We're missionaries in our homes. If you've never noticed it, when you head out the door to go outside, I had Ashley make a sign one time, and it says, to the mission field. It's like, that's where we're going when we're heading out there. We're going to the mission field, every one of us, and we're all called to be missionaries. So remember, Jesus was the first in this, and I've got a map here if you can pull that up. I just kind of wanted to show this map. If you look at that map, that's Israel and a little bit more, and look at all those boxes are different things, different events that Jesus was a part of. Look at how much area that covers. You know, Jesus, I think sometimes we read the scriptures and we think Jesus basically walked around St. Elmo and did all these things, and then he hitchhiked to Altamont and did the same, and then maybe went back to Brownstown. It was just in a small area. It was a pretty large area that Jesus covered in his mission work. And so we look at that map. Keep in mind that his ministry was just a little over 3 years long. He covered all that area in about 3 years. And these things were done all over Israel. Israel by itself is about the same size as New Jersey, the state, which is our fifth smallest state. Okay? So, but it's still a pretty big area. And if we look at that map, it looks like basically probably everywhere Jesus went, he ministered. Right? Everywhere that he went, all the different places he went to, he ministered. He did something. That's what it looks like, because he pretty much did. And he's our example. What does that tell us? Shouldn't our map look like that? I mean, maybe we don't have to walk quite as far as he walked. But when we go to Effingham or Vandalia or St. Louis or to Mexico or to the grocery store in town, wherever we go, shouldn't our map look like that? Shouldn't we have little boxes? This is where, you know, this is where Cindy told somebody about Jesus. This is where Vicky prayed for a man and he was healed. And this is where, you know, Sherry shared at her shop. Somebody came into it and she shared there, and the person was saved. And like, that's kind of what our map should look like, because we're called to be missionaries in our everyday lives everywhere that we go. Jesus was our example. He's the missionary model. You remember what Paul said? I shared this not that long ago. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. You know, Paul did a pretty good job of imitating what Jesus did. Do you have that map from Paul? Okay, these are Paul's missionary journeys. Most of your Bibles are going to have a map similar to this. I really liked this one because you see in red in Asia, those are the seven churches that the seven letters in the book of Revelation were to. But you see all those routes, those are the routes that Paul did. Now, Paul, he had a little more time than what Jesus had, right? I mean, we view Paul and we think of Paul as the apostle. We think of him as a church planter. But you know what? If you're going to be a church planter, you probably also have to be a missionary. And so Paul had to bring this message to places that didn't have the gospel so he could plant these churches. But he had about 30 years, a little over 30 years, and he was all over this continent, right? Some of these places he would spend several years on, and he'd move on to another, and he would preach, he'd plant churches, raise up leaders, but then he would move on and put it in capable hands of others. And then bring up that New Testament church map. These are all the churches that are mentioned in the New Testament. Okay, so those are because of what Jesus did, and then what Paul did, and then what the other early Christians did when they planted all these churches. And this is just in the New Testament. So look at how much influence and how much impact. And that all started, that all became reality because Christians were missionaries. All Christians were missionaries, right? Everywhere they would go, they would tell about what Jesus had done and who he was. And we'd see the impact of their lives because of the missions. This is good fruit. That's the result of mission-minded believers. And they know their call. They know their purpose. So we're all called to be missionaries in one way, shape, or form. Jesus, again, gave up the comfort of the throne because he went on a mission. He redeemed us by shedding his blood at the cross. And could God have done that a different way? Yes, of course he could have done it a different way. But he wanted us to see his love for us. Right? The Father sent Jesus not just because that's the only way it could be done. He's God. He could have done it however he wanted. But he wanted us to see his love in action on the earth, in our lives. And this is how much I love you, that I'll give my life for you. John 15, verse 12 and 13 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Jesus came because he wanted us to know his love. Could God choose to speak to people and save people without using us? Sure he could. He does it. He still does it sometimes. He could, but what he wants is us to follow that missionary model. Right? Jesus came so that we could see the love of God in our lives. God uses us today because he wants people to see the love of God through our lives. This requires more of God's Spirit in our life, more obedience to him, more faith in him, and just doing what he tells us to do. John 3:30 tells us that he must increase, but I must decrease. Right? We've got to be more like Christ and digging into the Word, spending the time with him, the stuff that I've been preaching for the last month or couple months or whatever. We've got to be in that place so we can be these missionaries that he has called us to be, whether it's here or abroad, it doesn't matter. We've got to be selfless like Jesus was selfless. That's kind of hard, isn't it? One of the things we talked about one night when we were doing our quiet time in the evening, or not quiet time, but our group time, was about contentment. You know, it's a lot easier to be content when you're in a foreign country, right? I mean, we still talked about like stuff that we kind of wish that we had, like tools that we did not have for the work that we needed to do. It's kind of like, where's the closest hardware store? Like, whatever it costs, I will go and buy it, you know? Part of that was generosity. Part of that was we know that it's easier to work when you have the right tools. But overall, it's easy to be content when you look around and you see how content those people are. I'll tell you that a game that I saw Xander playing with this kid, it was the first moment I was a little worried about Xander and how he was going to interact with the kids, not knowing their language. And I go over and he's sitting on the ground playing this game. And they have these little like caps, little plastic things, discs. On one side, it was Despicable Me 3. And the other side, it was some other kind of picture. But basically, they had one side that was the same, one side they were all different. And they would stack them up, and they would throw one cap down on the other ones, and if they flipped over, you get them. If they don't, then the next person goes. Well, they're doing this. Some of these things, the pictures are like almost worn off. You can barely tell what side is what, and these kids are just like, they're having a great time. And it was hot. Right? In America, those kids would be like, Mom, I ain't going. They don't have air conditioning. Right? It's too hot there. The food they feed us isn't good enough. Like last time I went, all they gave me was cookies. You know, I want like hot dog and nachos. Right? That's kind of what we see in America. Those toys, those little discs are garbage. Throw them in the trash. I'll play with something else. Or they get lost in a drawer. But there we saw these kids. They were content with these little discs that were barely even legible. You could barely tell what side was what on some of them. And they were there. It was hot. They were eating whatever it was that we gave them. I don't even know what some of those things were. But hey, when you're hungry, you eat it. And we're like, this is pretty good. I don't know what it is, but it's great. But they were content with what they had. They were really selfless, too. They were eager to share those things with other people. And you know, I had like kids coming up trying to give me a bite of their, they had these like things, they're like that big. What were they? It was kind of like a pork rind almost, like texture. And they'd put some stuff on it and you just eat it. I mean, kids would be like, they take a bite out of it and they'd be like, you want a bite? And I'm like, sure. You know, but I mean, and not just like little kids that don't know better. I'm talking like 10-year-olds, you know, and they're just kind of like, hey, you want a bite? And, you know, it's like they were so selfless. They're just like, man, these people are here loving on me. I'm going to love on them whatever way that I can. And that's the way that we need to be. We need to be in the place that Jesus was when we love people, even when we don't want to. You know, there's a few encounters where Jesus is kind of like, you know, he's got his mind on doing something else. And he's doing something. Then somebody else needs something. And he's kind of like, okay, you know. And then he turns and he stops and he takes the time to minister to somebody who he's not planning to, even though he's on his way somewhere else. TJ and I have talked a couple of times, and he told me that, you know, we always say that when we're going out and say we're going to Effingham and someone's broke down on the side of the road and like, man, I really wish if I had the time, I'd pull over and help that person, but I got somewhere to be. And he's like, isn't the reality like that's why you left your house in the first place, because you had somewhere to be? So unless you're intentionally going out driving around looking for someone that's broke down, you're always on your way somewhere. You're probably always trying to get somewhere, and you're always busy. It's like sometimes we need to just slow down, and it's like, what would Jesus do, right? Would he take the time to stop and to help somebody when it's not convenient for him, when he maybe doesn't want to do it, maybe he's wanting to do something else? That's the way that he lived his life. It's the example that we see him lay out in his missionary walk. And you know what? It's even if the person doesn't deserve it, even if the person is someone you don't like, even if it's a situation that may be uncomfortable, we should show love in all situations. And so we're called to be missionaries. Everybody is. So what's next? Do we sell everything? Who wants to sell everything? They're like, no way. I'm not going and living in a hot, sweaty house with no air conditioning and cold water. Acts 1:8, he tells us, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is the instruction that Jesus left us with. So he showed us this is what it's like to live the life of a missionary. It's basically just show the love of God everywhere that you go. You don't always have to make plans and make, I'm going to take a trip to here and do this. It's great when we do that. It's awesome. But shouldn't we be doing that in our daily lives? Shouldn't that be part of our daily routine? Is, you know what? Today, I am going to be a missionary right here in my home, in my workplace. You know, there's that mentality of relationship being first over the work, that's really ingrained in our culture, and so it's hard for us. And I know that most of us found that very difficult when we were there. I find that very difficult when I'm here. If I'm in my office working on something, and I'm like, this is what my mind is on, this is what I need to get done, and someone pulls in the parking lot, I'm kind of like, are they coming here? Like, because I really need to get this done. If you don't know this, like, I'm not even kidding, a dozen cars a day turn around in this parking lot. So most of the time, they're not coming here. So that's why I'm kind of like, are they coming here? And I'm kind of trying to, okay, if they go this way and they disappear, and they don't, I don't see them come around, that means they're turning around to go back. And it's like, but that's the way my mind is. I'm like, I'm working on this task. I need to get this task done. And, you know, what our mind ought to be like is, oh, I hope that car is coming here. I hope that's someone who needs ministered to. I hope that's someone who's having a bad day. I don't hope that they're having a bad day, but I hope it's someone who needs encouragement or needs prayer or needs something that I can help them with. Like, isn't that more the mentality that we should have in our daily lives? Because that's the mentality of a missionary. I don't have any doubt that missionaries back in that day did work. You know what? It was a lot of work setting up a VBS for, you know, 100 plus kids. How much work do you think it was getting 5,000 people to sit down and be patient for a minute while we distribute this food? Okay, let's say 12 guys distributing food to 5,000 people, 5,000 men, so it's probably significantly more people. We had a night in Jalisco where they had the kids sit in groups of 10. And we went around with those things, trying to hand them to them to eat. That was chaos. I walked in there, I'm like, who's had one, who hasn't? Why is that kid doing that? Aren't you supposed to be over here? It was pretty well organized, but it was still chaos. Right? There's a lot of work involved in getting people to do things and to settle down. But Jesus gave us this instruction as he left the earth. He told us, this is the reason you're going to have power. Because you're supposed to be witnesses for me. All over the place. Everywhere. I mean, he names off these places. He says Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria to the end of the earth. There's a progression here. And he delivers this as they're waiting for the Spirit to come. And he tells us basically that being a witness starts at home. It starts in your hometown. If you're not being a witness here, if you're not being a missionary here, then what's the point of being a missionary? Right, you start here. This should be our first goal, is right here in our own area, in our own town. We should be missionaries and share the love of Christ in our city. And you know what? We don't have to sell everything to be a missionary. If God has called you to that, then God has called you to that. But I don't believe in the poverty Christian theology where every Christian has to be poor or you're not really doing God's work. That's not true. I also believe in a God of blessing. I believe in a God of favor, and I believe in a God who gives more so we can do more. And, you know, if you're called to go, go. But if you're not, then start right here in St. Elmo, in Altamont, in Vandalia, wherever you live. Start right there. You know, there's people that we have in our immediate influence, our immediate area of influence, that need Jesus. And if we can't love them, and I know they're kind of messed up, right? We've got some messed up people in our area of influence, in our families, in our friends. But if we can't start with them, how are we really going to go somewhere else and minister to people that are probably even more messed up, that are even further from the gospel, that are even in a worse lifestyle? We have to be prepared by starting right here where we're at. Love the people that are in your reach. Love the people in your city. And then he says to go next, to go to Judea and Samaria. And that's basically going out further. That's regional. That's like your state and your country or international. He says, learn to love at home and then go. It's like you learn to love here and then you go a little bit bigger. And then you go a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. That's what we pray about when we pray for revival, right? We want revival to start right here. But we don't ever pray, then we want to hoard it and keep it right here. We want revival to come here, and we want it to spread to Altamont and Brownstown and St. Peter, and we want it to keep going and going. We ultimately want it to go through Illinois, and we ultimately want it to go through the Midwest, through this country, and we want it to spread through the entire world. That's exactly what Jesus called us to do with our witnessing. But we're like, Holy Spirit, you do it, right? Holy Spirit, you set us on fire and then set the and then spread out. And Jesus said, you be a witness where you're at, and then you be a witness a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. And if everybody's doing that, then we're going to cover the whole globe. Why are we sitting around just always waiting on God? Of course, we need God and we need the power of the Spirit inside of us. But if we have that, why are we still waiting? Is the question. Go to the ends of the earth. Tell the world about Jesus. Show the world the love of Christ. This hasn't changed. You know, this is a couple thousand years old, but this hasn't changed. The whole plan has always been for God's people to witness to the people that are around them, and then to go and witness to everybody else. We should be witnessing to the people around us so much that at some point we run out. And it's like, I got to go find somebody else to witness to. And maybe you're in that boat. Maybe you've witnessed to everybody that's close to you, and maybe some of them have taken it, received it, and some of them have said, not interested. You know what? Keep trying, but maybe it's time to expand your territory a little bit. Maybe it's time to go and see where else can God be using me. This is God's plan for our lives. In Ephesians 2:10, he told us, we are his workmanship. We love that part. You're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. That's phenomenal. We love that we're his workmanship. But we are created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. That God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We all love the being his workmanship, but it's for a reason. It's to do the works that he created us to do. God has already had plans for things for you to do, for people to you to minister to. Sometimes those people that are in your life that are the hardest to deal with are the people that God has brought in your life for a reason, right? They need to be able to see grace. Maybe you need to learn something from them, whatever it is, but we are called to do works that God has created for us. And for some, that is pack up and go. For others, it's a short-term mission trip like we just did. And for others, it's supporting those mission trips financially and prayerfully and whatever way we can. But for some of us, it's just being missionaries in our hometown and loving on people who sometimes are unlovable. Isn't that the hardest part? Isn't that harder than jumping in a plane and going to Mexico and loving on people and then coming back home and going back to our lives? It's much harder to do it right here. So as much as I appreciate the team that went, you know what? There's much more work to be done here. There's much more work to be done here, and we're all responsible equally for that, to jump in with both feet and to do it. You know, in the Bible, the first missionaries had the support of the church. They had the support of the church. And we see, like Paul, he said he was a tent maker, and he tells different churches, but you know, you guys helped provide for my needs when others would not, and you were sowing into me and giving me finances to be able to do the things that I need to do. So those people who are sent out, we should be supportive of them while we're doing our work here. Sometimes I think there's a disconnect. It's like, we're going to support Fabian, who's doing work in Iraq that we can't do, and that's us being missionaries, right? Supporting the missionaries, because we are a part of that, right? We're sowing seeds, and they all tell us when they come, and I believe that the missionaries we support believe it, that we're a part of their mission. We're a part of the work that God is doing in Iraq and in Jordan and in Kansas City and Mexico. We're a part of that. And we see, okay, well, we're financially supporting them, so we're good missionaries. We're doing our part. And that's a great thing that we're doing, because the gospel may not be able to spread to those areas without the church, local church, supporting those. But you know what? Our mission is to make disciples for God's kingdom and for his glory, and that starts here. That shouldn't be a disconnect that I'm a missionary in Iraq that I've never been to, but I'm not a missionary in my hometown. We partner up with these people because we believe in them. We believe in what they're doing, and thank you, Lord, that you have given us opportunities to reach people that we can't normally reach. But what about the people that we can reach? Don't we think it's time to start being missionaries where we live? I mean, when we pray on Wednesdays with the pastors, we pray that all the churches will fill up. We're like, there's a lot of churches in this little town, unfortunately, too many. But there's enough residents of St. Elmo that could fill every one of these churches and everybody would still not be saved. That's true. You can go around and you can take, you know, a guess of how many people will sit in each church, add them together, and it's less than 1,500 people. We don't have the capacity for 1,500 people in our churches without overflow and whatnot. The churches should be full. We desire for them to be full. But the way that they're going to be full is by the church being missionaries. By the church telling people about Jesus and telling people where they can find Jesus and inviting them and come with me. I'll pick you up. I'll meet you at the door. Whatever it takes to get them into the church so that they can have an encounter with the living God. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Being missionaries. You know, we're happy to team up with these guys again, pouring into people and making disciples. And we're excited about partnering with Tony and La Fuente in Mexico. And again, it's awesome because we can go there, we can have an impact, and we leave, and that impact continues. Those people are not sitting around like, man, where is that TJ guy at this week? Like, I thought he was going to be back, right? No, they have local people that they're like, hey, we're glad you're back. They welcome them in. They're taking care of them. They're continuing the ministry. And we're glad to help them do things and do things effectively. We helped show the love of God to people that needed him for the first time. We helped show the love of God to people that need reminded of who Jesus was. But you know what? They continue to build those relationships. But what about the people in our lives? What about when we start witnessing to someone, when we start ministering to someone, and then we leave? Who are we leaving them with? That's why local missions is so much, I don't want to say more important, but for the basic Christian, it's more important. It's more important that you do it here than that you do it there, but it's great if you can do it all, right? But it's so much more important because if we give up on them, if we're not there for them the next time they need us, then who is? They don't have a team that's coming in behind us and following up, right? That's what kind of terrifies me about 3,000 being saved in one day. What happens if that actually happened here? Right? What do we do? Like, who's gonna follow up with them next week? It's going to be all of us. You know, somebody's calling into work on Monday because we got 3,000 phone calls to make or home visits to make to try to see what we can do to help them in their walk with Christ. Every Christian is to be a local missionary. Every single one of us. Every Christian should be involved in missions in whatever way that we can. But, you know, we've got to start here with this battle plan that Jesus gives us in the book of Acts chapter 1. We should be witnesses to relate it to modern day. We should be witnesses in St. Elmo and in Illinois and in the United States and to the ends of the earth. That's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to do. People sent on a mission to love God and to love people, just as we saw Jesus do. Our missionary model. You would stand with me today. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, the first one is not, am I called to be a missionary? Because we know that we are. We're all called to be a missionary. But the question is, am I answering the call? Am I doing what God has asked me to do? Am I this power that we desire? We all desire the power of the Holy Spirit. Why would you not want the power of God active in your life? But then what are we doing with it? Is it just to say, I got the power? Is it just to tell people what we have and that's it? Or is it to say, I've got the power and you can have it too? Is it just so we know for ourselves, well, I've got it, so I'm as good as these other people that got it? No, it's for us to do the work of the kingdom. It's for us to be witnesses. What good is it to have a power if nobody knows? How good is Superman if he can't actually, can't tell anybody he can fly, if nobody ever sees him, right? He wouldn't be a superhero. How good is it to have powers that nobody knows anything about? And we have the power of the Spirit of the living God residing inside of us. And shouldn't we want to tell other people how wonderful it is and where they can get it to? So this morning, if you would bow your head and close your eyes, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close by answering this call to be missionaries. I believe that God has something great in store for this church. Next Sunday's our board meeting, like Crystal said earlier, where we're nominating or electing new officers, and we do have new elders coming in. We have new deacons coming in, and I believe that God has great plans for this church. I believe that this year is going to be the best year that we've had in several years. And I believe that God is going to move in power. But I'm going to tell you that we will not see church growth unless our church picks up the phone and answers the call to be missionaries to our cities. That's the only way that it's going to happen. God is probably not going to just miraculously send 100 people here. What he's going to do is he's going to use us, his people, to do what he asked us to do, which is to go out and be his witnesses and to show his love. So, Father, we thank you for the call. We thank you for the call to be missionaries. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus, as you ascended to heaven, that you sent your Spirit to live in us, to reside in us, the overcoming Spirit of God, the one who has overcome hell, death, and the grave, the one who is greater than any fear or anxiety or any worry in our lives. That is the power that resides in us, the power over this world, the power over our own minds and over our selfishness and uncontent and all the things that we struggle with. That the Holy Spirit is greater than all those things in our lives. And so we just thank you for that power. But Lord, we know you gave us that power for a reason, to be used. We know that with great power comes great responsibility. We know that it is us, your people, that you have chosen to show who you are, to show your love, your mercy, your grace to people who don't deserve it, people who don't know it. And Lord, without us, they're not going to know. And so Lord, we just ask right now that you would show us how you see people, that you would break our hearts like yours is broken for the people who don't know you today, Lord. God, give us that passion for them. Lord, we thank you that you've given us all unique passions and skill sets and talents, but God, give us a passion for lost souls. Give us a desire to share with them, because God, what we have is something that should not be kept to ourselves. Give us that passion and that desire, like Jeremiah, that fire that we just can't hold it in, where we have to go out and we have to speak it, we have to share it, because it's too much for us to just keep to ourselves. Give us that kind of a passion for people who need to know you more. Lord, Christianity is not just about us knowing you, and we're thankful for that piece of it, but it's about us doing your work upon this earth. It's about advancing the kingdom of God over the kingdom of darkness. And we pray that this day, that as we get ready to come forth, that we declare, Lord, that our hands and our feet are going to follow up what our words are. Our hands and our feet are going to walk out and do the work of the kingdom that is laid out in your word. What you desire for us to do, these things, you created us as a masterpiece to do the works that you predestined for us to do. And so today we're going to answer that call, and we're going to thank you and praise you for all that you do, all that you've set up for us, all that you have in store for us in the future, that we can advance your kingdom and bring glory to the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.